think this special offer, you're going to have to call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, and we'll get it out to you post-haste. Remember, we only have six copies, and we want to make it available to you. Revival from Zion, 50 reasons why Christians should support the building of the third Jewish temple. Thanks for joining us here today on Viewpoint. As we move toward a new year, friends, it is time for us to take seriously the second coming of Jesus Christ. And just as God sent forth the voice of John the Baptist before the first coming to prepare the way of the Lord, so he is raising up voices before the second coming, telling us, wooing and warning us to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you. Be a blessing. And let's prepare our sons and daughters.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint is supported by the faith
in the churches today because of that. Do you realize that? 60-80%. This is a crisis. It's a crisis of incredible proportions. And all they go back and do is, let's do another Bible study. And go, oh, no, 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 you just don't understand. All right. My son is at a Christian fraternity house. And I won't say where because I'm going to do some quoting here. So, but I talked to the head of the frat house when we were there dumping him off again this fall. And we were discussing this very issue. And the guy who runs the whole house, he said, do you realize...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because it's Open Line Wednesday. And I certainly hope that you'll be calling in here. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What would you like to talk about? We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. I'll start out talking a little bit about what's happening to the economy, because, of course, this is going to impact upon every one of you out there. And most people think, well, things must be really better, the overall. As they surveyed people, most people are getting more optimistic. There's some people who are still pessimistic, but the majority of people are optimistic, and they think, well, the stock market's looking pretty good, and maybe we're going to have another run on the stock market. And so the Federal Reserve System is doing everything they can to get the economy working. Ben Bernanke is going ahead and buying $600 billion worth of bonds. Now, nobody's quite sure where he's going to buy those bonds. I think he's going to buy them from the banks, and he's going to infuse the money into the banks with the idea that the banks then will be able to lend money and we can get the economy going again. Because you have to understand, we have a totally fallacious and managed economy. It's all depend upon the banks lending money. We have a certain amount of money in circulation. Then on top of that, you have your money deposited in money market funds and deposited in the banks and checking accounts. But basically, it is the banks creating money, and they do this simply by bookkeeping entries. It's called the fractional reserve system, and they can lend 10 times, 20 times, 30 times the amount of money that they actually have on hand. So they create money and, of course, create tremendous prosperity. And when, of course, there's prosperity there, everybody wants to get on the bandwagon. They want to borrow money. Everybody wants to get rich. And that's just sort of the way it is. We're sort of motivated by greed, and then you mortgage your home, and you mortgage your factory, and you mortgage your car, and you put that all up as security for the money you're borrowing, and then and then the banks stop lending money. They do it as a combined effort. This is all a scam. They've done this over and over again. And suddenly the banks are not lending money, and business begins to contract, and people begin to lose their jobs, and then they can't make the payments, the bank payments, on their mortgage, on their home, on their business, on their factory, whatever it would be. And then the banks end up owning it. That's how the system works. And that's exactly what is going on today. It's happened time and time and time again. Happened in 1819. It happened in 1839. It happened before the Civil War. It happened after the Civil War. It happened in the 1890s. It happened in 1907. It happened in 1929. And it's a scam. You see, but the average individual doesn't understand how the game is played, and they go right along, and time after time after time, why they go ahead and they borrow money when the times are good, not realizing that time is coming when banks are going to stop lending and contract the availability of money, and then they can't pay back their loans. And then right now, Bank of America has over a million homes they're foreclosing on, a lot of it dishonestly, but that doesn't really matter. They will get the courts usually on their side, and they will take advantage of the people and evict them. In fact, one poor lady, they didn't even have a right to her home. They got a faulty mortgage, and they moved and went into her home when she was away on vacation. And they threw out all of her furniture, and they threw out the ashes of her husband, who was there in an urn. And when she came back, of course, everything was gone. And it was just a mistake on the part of Bank of America. They say we don't make those mistakes very often. Ladies and gentlemen, they're closing on a million homes at the present time. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're simply talking about what's going on financially and how the banks rigged the system, and how basically what's going on is not what most people think is going on. Now, Ben Bernanke says that, of course, he's going to get the economy working, and, of course, he's going to do that by buying bonds. Now, he's going to buy them, and I think most people are confused how this system works. He buys, he creates the money literally out of nothing. They have the ability to do that when you're the head of the Federal Reserve Board. You can create all the money you want to. He created $3.3 trillion during the early parts of the economic contraction in 2008. He lent this to people all over the world, not just to banks, the Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, UBS, and he lent it to Toyota, he lent it to General Electric. He lent many times money over and over and over again, to equivalent of about $12 trillion, but I think the base of that was really his $3.3 trillion. We really don't know, because everything has to be done in secret, because they do not want the American people to really understand what's going on. But be that as it may, of course, Ben Bernanke now is going to put $600 billion into the economy. Now, what impact will that have? Well, basically, the currency in circulation is perhaps $1.5 trillion. He's putting about a third of $1 trillion into circulation. The M2 is about $8.8 trillion. The M3 is about $15 trillion, $15.5 trillion today. So, but basically, of course, the money he is putting into the banks can be multiplied 10 times, certainly, if they cheat, 20 or 30 times. And so that $600 billion Ben Bernanke is putting into the banks could make quite a bit of difference, except for the facts that the banks have lots of money. I mean, the major banks, most of the major banks, are sitting on probably about $2 trillion, and they're not investing it. Why aren't they investing it? Well, we're told they're not investing it. They're not lending that money out because, of course, they can't find credit-worthy people to borrow it, or people do not have sufficient collateral, and that really isn't true. The reason that the six major banks, and we have only six major banks in America, we have about 8,000 smaller banks, and most of them are having a very real financial problems, but the reason the six major banks aren't lending is because they're all in on this scam. And by contracting the money supply, of course, then they are able then to foreclose on the commercial developments, on the apartment complexes, on the homes, on the farms and the businesses, and they're able to reenact what's been done so many times before. And until you understand how the game is played, nothing really makes sense. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's Open Line Wednesday, and Open Lines is when you're supposed to call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I was simply saying that Ben Bernanke is simply putting on political theater. He has announced he's going to sell or purchase $600 billion worth of Treasury bonds, and I'm sure he's going to buy this from the banks so we can insert the money into the banks with the idea that, number one, by buying those bonds, he can keep the price of the interest on the Treasury bills down. And by keeping the interest on the Treasury bills down, why, it'll influence all the interest for all of the other things, the bonds, that state bonds, that the mortgage rates, all those things. And Ben Bernanke says, you know, by buying the bonds, by putting that money into the economy, why, that's going to get the economy moving. Now, Ben Bernanke is a very smart man. He probably doesn't realize that he was set up to be the fall guy for this whole thing, but the major banks don't need money. They've got lots of money. They're probably sitting on about $2 trillion is the estimate. They have $2 trillion. They have the money. They could even borrow more money from the Fed if they wanted to at 0% or 0.25% interest, but they are not lending the money because they want to strangle the economy. They want to bring the economy down. And that's how, of course, they will profit. They'll make a great deal of money by foreclosing on the businesses, by foreclosing on the commercial developments, but even more than that, they want this financial crisis. Why? Well, because if you look over at Europe and what's happening there, of course, you have your pig nations, you have your Portugal, you have your Ireland, Italy, Greece, Spain, of course, Belgium is having real problems, Luxembourg is having problems. The countries in Eastern Europe are having problems, but they don't fit into the mnemonic of pig, and so we don't talk about them, but Hungary and Romania and all the countries in Eastern Europe have borrowed and borrowed and borrowed, and there's no way they can possibly pay that money back. And so basically, out of this increasingly chaotic situation is coming a demand for the uniting of Europe. And certainly, instead of having all these sovereign nations there that are using a common currency, they're saying people are going to have to give up their sovereignty. You've got two choices. You can either have chaos or you can give up your sovereignty. Now, the people there don't want to give up their sovereignty, but their leaders, most of them, are part and parcel of this Brotherhood of Darkness. And the purpose, the stated goal, specifically of the Brotherhood of Darkness, is world government. And the first stepping stone towards world government was the European Union. Now, they told the people who believed their leaders didn't realize they were being lied to. This was all about economics. It was just going to mean that you could put products across national lines and it would increase trade. But it was all about trade. And then after they got everybody into the European Union, oh, this is going to be so good. I mean, everybody's going to prosper from free trade. Then, well, we're going to have a common currency. But basically, of course, you had the common currency, but you had all these different states, and some of them were very irresponsible as far as certainly putting money out, lending money, certainly providing all sorts of social benefits. People could retire at 60 years of age, and they could get 2 months of vacation a year. A lot of, after all, if you can get all these benefits from government, wouldn't you take them? And that's exactly what happened in the Mediterranean nations down there. They were living high on the hog, and the countries were simply borrowing more and more money, and Greece was borrowing money that they never could have repaid. And of course, Goldman Sachs covered for them and wrote all sorts of glowing reports about how wonderful things were in Greece, and they knew that the money would never be paid back, and the same thing was true with Portugal and Spain. And basically, of course, this was all designed for one thing, to create a chaotic situation, which is where we are today. And what's the solution? Why, countries are going to have to give up their national sovereignty. And, of course, then we will have Europe as one nation. Now, that has always been the program of the globalists. That's, of course, what we wanted to do here in North America with the North American Union. They're already organizing a South American Union, the Central American Union, an African Union, a Union of the Arab countries, an Asian Union, basically the areas of countries surrounding the Pacific Ocean. understand that this is a stepping stone. And so basically they're telling the people of Europe, you have two alternatives. You either have chaos or you give up your national sovereignty. And most people over there, faced with those two alternatives, will accept giving up their sovereignty. But you see, everything is designed to manipulate the public. This is how the system works. And you're not understanding this whole thing has been planned for a long period of time. Now, what are they going to do here in the United States? Well, the plan is to lower our living standards and to bring austerity to America. They're going to cut back on everything. And they're going to cut back on Social Security. They're going to cut back on Medicare, and they're going to say, gee, we don't want to do this, but oh, we don't have any alternative. Here we've got 70 million baby boomers, probably between 70 and 75 million baby boomers that are already retiring now, and they're all going to retire in the next 20 years, and there's just no way that we can possibly provide the Social Security benefits and the Medicare benefits. We're not going to provide for end-of-life care. In fact, one of the things stipulated in this bill is they're going to pay doctors extra to give patients on a yearly basis counseling about death. And, you know, basically, they don't call it, we're going to kill you. They just say end-of-life care. And suddenly, you wouldn't want to end up being a vegetable, suddenly with tubes in every orifice there, would you at all? Wouldn't you like us just to, of course, let you go kindly, you know? But what they're really talking about is withholding food and water from people who would otherwise survive. And ladies and gentlemen, they're doing this already in America today. In hospitals across America, nobody's telling you this, but they call it end-of-life care. And when the doctor feels that you have come to the end of your life, whether you feel you have not and whether you have the ability to recover, but you're costing the hospital and the system and the HMO too much money, they put you on end-of-life care, they start you on an IV morphine drip. And this is going on in America today, and nobody is talking about it. And it's unfortunate, but you don't understand that they have to do this. They have to kill off the elderly. Otherwise, this whole socialist house of cards comes tumbling down. And they don't want to come to the American people and saying, we've lied to you. There is no Social Security fund. There is no Medicare fund. 70 million people are beginning to retire now, and there's no way. We've only got about 50 million people on Medicare now, and we're going to have another 70 million, and they're all starting to apply now, and they're applying singly every day. More and more people are demanding what they're entitled to without realizing that we really aren't entitled to anything in a free country. Basically, of course, any government that can provide whatever you want or whatever you need has to be take whatever you have. And any government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave has got to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. And that's what this is really all about. And what they plan is to create a chaotic situation here in America as they begin cutting back both at the state and the federal level and at the city and municipal level, because the cities are running out of money. A lot of them have pension obligations. They don't have sufficient money. The counties are in the same situation. They promised to give significant pensions to their retirees and health care benefits, and the pension funds are underfunded, and the same thing with the state, the same thing with the federal government. And this whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down. And out of the chaos, why, of course, the going to force the American people to be willing to give up their sovereignty, and you're going to be promised why things will be so much better once we accept this one world government and we turn our back on that archaic constitution, because the people in the Brotherhood of Darkness, the people who want the dictatorship, who want the one world government, who are energized by dark and sinister spirits or forces, they hate freedom. They hate America, they hate our Constitution, and that is why they've set out to destroy us, to ship our factories overseas, to ship our jobs overseas, to ship the future of your children overseas. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is Open Lines, and of course, Open Lines require that you're going to give us a call, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. I think it's so important that you understand that they are intentionally destroying our economy. They've already triggered off off inflation. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But there's a fascinating little chart here in the latest Wellington letter pointing out what's happening to inflation. Since May of 2008, palladium has gone up 331 percent, 331%. Cotton has gone up 301% since October of 2008. Rubber is up 263% since December of 8. Silver is up 242% since October of 2008. Copper is up 211% since December of 2008. Crude oil is up 159% since December of 2008. Orange juice is up 142% since February of 2009. Platinum's up 132% since October of 2008. Coffee's up 104%. Gold's up 95%. Corn is up 88%. Wheat is up 68%. And Mr. Bernanke says, you got nothing to worry about. You can depend upon me because, well, he says, yeah, I did miss the crash there in 2008, but I can promise you with 100% assurity that if the inflation starts, why, we can put it down immediately. And ladies and gentlemen, inflation is already here. Has he seen what's happening to the price of gasoline and oil? Well, we'll be back here at telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, we've got Ashley calling from Kentucky. Hi, Ashley. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Do you have a question or comment? Are you listening to us on the radio station there in Kentucky? Is it Lexington?
Yes, sir.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Ask to people, how do you, you know, where do I start? I know you said, you know, read in the archives, read books. Just on intuition, I know these things. I don't research a whole lot. I'm just intuition and just sitting back and watching. I mean, it's common sense, and if people would stop allowing themselves to be distracted by the media and Hollywood and the things that are, you know, the material world, we're so distracted. The government, they eat it up. They love that we're distracted. They love that we're not paying attention. They love that we're, you know, more intrigued with what Paris Hilton is doing versus what Congress is doing or the puppet masters behind Congress are doing. They know we're distracted. So what's going to happen is the country's falling apart right before our eyes. People like me, people like you, your listeners, we know it. But like I said, we're the ones that are the outcast. We're the people that, you know, the fingers are being pointed at us going, you know, they're crazy. Oh, that's insane. The government wouldn't do that. They want to take care of us. They care about us. They don't.
But Ashley,
what
you have to stress is that we have two governments. We have the government that you see. And a lot of these are good, sincere people. But there is another government, a power elite, a group of very wealthy people who have a different set of allegiances. And, of course, they really believe in world government. They do not want this government. And you ask people, what do you think is going to happen to Social Security? Do you really think it's going to be there when you retire? Do you really think Medicare is going to be there? What you need to do is get them to think. Right now, remember, there is a spiritual blindness. Their minds are being intensely clouded. Right now, they're sure you're crazy, but I will tell you, you keep talking very quietly without getting angry, and one of these days they're going to be afraid you're not crazy, and they're going to begin listening. We have so many people call our programs who said, you know, I just woke up 3 years ago. I woke up 2 years ago. I just woke up this last year. So don't feel bad. People are waking up all across America. I've been at this for 48 years, and I will tell you I have never been as encouraged as I am right now.
So you really believe, I mean, where do you think we're going? In my mind, I see us falling completely apart.
I think it's all going to fall completely apart. It'll be the best thing that can possibly happen. When you are affluent, you really don't care. When you lost your home and your job and maybe your family, you're going to start asking what this is all about. And basically, I can guarantee one thing. Things are going to get a lot worse. And how soon, I can't tell you, but I think this is going to be a very eventful year we're coming into. But we need to have something to jar people to begin taking a second look at what's going on. Affluence is a terrible curse.
Which is what's going on now. I believe that, but it's taken people losing everything.
Well,
their homes, their families, like you said, for people to start realizing. What do you think I can do right now, you know, to help my community understand this is real? You need to wake up. I've even gone as far as telling my family members and my closest friends calmly, like you said, so I'm not coming across as this paranoid person, but I've told them you need to start stocking up on canned goods, bottled water, weapons, and you need to prepare because I really believe it's going to get that extreme. Look at the gas prices. There was a documentary about 4 years ago on the Discovery Channel. I wish they would air it again. It was an apocalyptic documentary, and everything that was in this documentary is coming into play. But it basically surrounded the theme on gas prices and the crude oil. And by the end of the documentary, gas was unreal, $40, $50 a gallon. We couldn't import, export food or supplies. People were starving. And here in Kentucky, our gas prices right now are phenomenal. they're almost $4 a gallon.
Well, but just talk to people about that, you know, and say you think prices are high now, you just wait, because, of course, we have information suggesting oil is going to go to $150 to $200 a barrel within the next several months. Start talking about that. And when that comes to pass, why, people will look at you as a prophet. Anyway, I can let you go. But, Ashley, please keep on listening. I think you have a tremendous grasp of this, even though you haven't listened to us in the past. But start listening on a regular basis. You can listen to our programs. They're archived. Cindy, this program will be archived, the other ones. But you need to understand all the intricacies, but you can't tell people too much because it'll just blow their minds. There is a spiritual blindness out there. I don't criticize the people, just urge them to begin thinking about this and ask them, what are you going to do if the monetary system collapses? You know, it's just happened in other countries. It's happened in Zimbabwe, where we installed a Marxist dictator there, and we've kept him in power, and half the people have fled the country. Gee, if that happened here, where would you flee to? Just leave it at that.
I don't know. I've thought about that. Where would we go?
God, we've got to let you go. God bless. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Gather far across the sea. Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we've got Susan here from the Freedom Forum here in Santa Cruz. Hi, Susan. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Doing great. I just wanted to announce our next event called Are You Free to Travel? And it's going to be about do invasive scanning and groping techniques keep us safe? And is that the real purpose of putting us through this? And we're going to share video clips on the TSA Scan and Grope program and the creation and increasing use of the USA Patriot Act and selections from Alex Jones' Police State 4 movie outlining the changes taking place in our country today. And that will be on January 19th, 2011, 7 p.m. Wednesday at the Live Oak Grange, 1900 17th Avenue in Santa Cruz.
That's 1900 17th Avenue in Santa Cruz.
That's
now,
right.
If people are coming from elsewhere, they don't know how to get to 17th Avenue. Let's say they're coming from down around Salinas or from over in Monterey where this program is heard. How would they actually get to 17th Avenue?
Well, coming from the south, you go up Highway 1 and you go through Capitola. You pass 41st Avenue exit and you get off on the next one on Soquel Avenue. And that'll take you, if you go over the bridge and go down across to the ocean side, you'll get onto 17th Avenue. They'll have to check it on a map.
You'll actually turn to your left there as you come across the bridge, and then,
right.
Of course, you'll turn to your left, and the first street on your right is 17th Avenue. And basically, of course, it's important people understand what is really going on, and basically this whole situation at the airports today is simply to antagonize the people. They know there's no threat of terrorism. If there were a threat of terrorism, they would have closed the border immediately after the September 11th attack. Literally every one of the so-called attacks in America has been staged, and certainly the one with the underwear bomber was staged. Somebody built a bomb for him, but forgot to tell him how to ignite it. I mean, and this young man's going to spend the rest of his life in prison because they wanted an excuse to put in these machines. They were already ready. They were just looking for an excuse. And this young man gave them the excuse, hang on there for just a moment. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. It's open line on Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Susan, who is the Freedom Forum, and they're putting a program on here in Santa Cruz, where, of course, they're going to be talking about airport security and the feel-good situation that's going on as they humiliate both men and women who will not go through the scanners. And, of course, the scanners were built by Mr. Chertoff. I don't know if you remember my Michael Chertoff. He's the guy who looked like he died about 3 years ago, but he's still walking around a very, very thin face. And he was the one who built these scanners, and he certainly needed an incident to justify it, and so we had the underwear bomber, a young man who was somehow brought into this country without either a passport or a visa. And if you don't know the story of how he got in here, there were some people who were actually at the airport where he boarded the plane in Amsterdam. He didn't have a visa. He didn't have a passport, but he was allowed to come get on the plane. And then, of course, supposedly he's going to light off the bomb, but nobody tells him he has to have a blasting cap. Somebody set this whole scheme up to justify the scanners. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being manipulated. Thanks for everything you're doing, Susan. And
Thank
if you're
you.
Out there, you need to come to the meetings. This is a group that's trying to do something, sort of like a Tea Party group here in Santa Cruz. And wherever you are across America, you've got to start doing the same as Susan's doing. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
No, I think that is great. A great idea. People need a place to meet and join forces, and we're trying to do that, be that place, and address concerns of the people on issues that we all have in common, like this. A lot of people are not wanting to travel anymore, and this is what they're creating here for us. So we have to stand up together on that.
And what we need to do is right now start figuring out who's going to run for political office next year for the city council, for the board of supervisors, and who's going to run 2 years from now for Congress. This is the time to do it and start raising the funds and the awareness and start going door to door and trying to find out people who cherish freedom and are willing to work for it.
Right.
God bless. Thanks so much,
Susan.
Thanks for all you
do. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
And let's go to Ruby, who's calling from Live Oak. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because it's Open Line Wednesday. Hi, Ruby. How are you doing?
Oh, well, excuse me, Dr. Stan. I'm just doing great right now. I just hope Ashley is still listening. I mean, I don't know whether she got to work yet or not, but I hope she's still listening because she absolutely made my day, made my night. The fact that somebody so young, probably a product of the public school education system, is so aware, and as she said, intuitively aware, just observant, hasn't listened to your show before, but the fact that she is aware of these things and trying to help other people be aware of these things at such a young age, I think it's just amazing. And you talk about being excited and having more hope than ever before. This is just a wonderful thing. And I think if she can do this and if she's like this, maybe there are other people who are young like this. And I mean, I have pretty much given up. I mean, never give up hope on your kids, for sure. But I mean, I was thinking I'm never going to convince my kids how serious this is because, I mean, they're in la-la land sometimes. And I was talking to my son on Christmas, and I was telling him, you know, I hope you're storing up food and stuff. He says, oh, yeah, yeah. He says, well, yeah, we're doing that. He says, and he told me, he said, well, he's studying to be a lawyer, and he said that I know everything that's going on here. I'm aware of all of this stuff. And he says, but I'll tell you what. He said, I think the prices are going to go down in the United States, he says, because when gas gets so high, we're going to have to start bringing jobs back into America and stop importing all of this stuff. Well, that's his opinion. I don't know whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent.
Well, it's wrong because the jobs are not coming back because the plan is to keep them overseas to lower the living standards here. And all you can do, Ruby, is just keep loving him and keep pointing out the fact and ask him if he's ever read the Earth Charter. If you get him to read the Earth Charter, where they talk about how there would be equitable distribution of wealth between nations, and the only way to accomplish that, of course, is to lower our living standards, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, he's studying law, and what I give him for Christmas is a laminated copy of the Constitution. I don't know if he appreciates it, and I ask him all the time, are you studying the Constitution? Well, yeah, well, I'm studying the Constitution.
He will never read the Constitution in law school. All they do is tell you what the corrupt lawyers have done to destroy it. Hey, I got to let you go.
Okay,
anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
I'm just glad to hear from Ashley and hope that she keeps listening and get all the people of her generation to listen to, and I just really want to wish her well.
God bless. And I really do believe that there are a lot of young people who are waking up, and certainly a lot of them have been followers of Congressman Ron Paul, because they realize, of course, that they it's their future that is at stake, and they don't trust the government, and with good reason. God bless you. Thanks
God
so
bless
much,
you
Rudy.
Too.
Have
Bye-bye.
A wonderful new year, and we'll be talking to you next year.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Scott, who's calling us from Amsterdam, New York. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
How you doing, Dr. Stan? Good to talk to you again.
Good. Good to have you with us. What do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, it's funny, but God must work in mysterious ways because Ruby just stole my thunder. And kudos to her. I was calling for the same reason that Ruby called. She pretty much took the words right out of my mouth. That I think it's great that somebody of Ashley's age can understand and discern between the truth and what's really going on. And I would reiterate, if she's still listening, to follow your advice and don't try to be and tell people too much information. Like you said, get them to use some critical thinking, because I think the younger generation, to a large degree, has been dumbed down, and they don't discern the truth. But she is well advanced beyond her years of 28, I believe she said.
Well, I think that God gives people judgment. I will tell you, I was 32 years old. I was practicing medicine. I was a graduate of the University of California, minored in history. I had no idea about any of these things until I turned on the wrong radio television program and heard an old man talking about what was going on in the world. And I was just so intrigued, I wanted to prove him wrong, and that was my mistake. But Ashley is 4 years younger than I was, and she already is far wiser than I was at that age.
Absolutely. And I just think it's great. And I just called to reiterate what Ruby had said. And I think it's good that younger listeners, I'm not that old, I'm only 47, but much older than 28. And I just think it's great to hear somebody like that call in. So I think it's
God bless and thanks very much, Scott.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Washington. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. I wanted to ask you a few questions. The first one being about how the Freedom and Liberty Movement, led by people like Ron Paul and Peter Schiff, how it can stand up to scrutiny from the public.
Well, I think that the movement is doing very well. I think that Ron Paul says all that he possibly can say. He can't be as outspoken as I am. He can't come right out and say, look, the Twin Towers came down by explosions. All he could say is, what we need is another investigation. He has to be a little careful what he says, because the media is out there just waiting to jump up and down and pounce on him. But I really do believe that, because he has a growing following, and what's so interesting and pretty encouraging, a lot of the people are very young on the college campuses. He had tremendous support. And Sidney, whether he'll run for president again, Sidney, in 2014, I don't know. It would be a tremendous, really, sacrifice on his part to run for Congress, for president again. But I'm hoping that he will act as a rallying point for people, because more and more people are beginning to realize that what he says is absolutely true. But what he has done as far as exposing the Federal Reserve System and the corrupt banking system that we have, I think he's changed the thinking of literally millions of people in America, and I think we should be indebted to him. I think Peter Schiff does a great job. I'm not sure Peter understands the conspiracy that we talk about, but I think he's very, very sound on economics. So I always enjoy reading what Peter Schiff has to say.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. I wanted to know, was it your thinking or was it your opinion that Ron Paul thought that 9/11 was an inside job?
Well, I cannot say that I personally know what he thinks, but he has called for an independent investigation. And to me, that suggests he believes it's an inside job, but he's not going to come out and say that. He can't say the things that I can say, because they can't, you know, the media is not going to attack me. They're going to ignore me, but they would certainly attack him if he gave them the ammunition. So he's smart enough sometimes not to say everything he knows, but he's been around long enough to have a pretty good grasp of what's going on. So listen to what he says and read between the lines. When you call for an independent investigation, why would you call for an independent investigation if you believe what the government told us?
I don't know if he necessarily thinks that it was an inside job perpetrated by the government. I've seen interviews online and on the mainstream TV networks where I think he's even explicitly said that when getting back into a corner by the interviewer, saying that he doesn't necessarily believe it was an inside job. And I hear what you're saying when he says he can't say that, But I'm not sure that he actually does. And what if he doesn't think it's an inside job?
I don't
think that necessarily affects the conspiracy movement, so to speak. I think his ideas are still very valid. But I don't think it's even relevant to be even really talking about this kind of issue.
But you're the one who brought it up. But basically, I cannot speak for him. I can only read between the lines and sort of second guess what's going on. But I think your point's very valid. It doesn't really matter whether he knows. I will tell you, you know, I like to think I'm fairly astute, but it took me a couple of years after the attack before I was finally willing to admit that the buildings were brought down by explosives. Now, I was firmly convinced that the government knew the attack was coming. I mean, we had so much evidence that Mayor Willie Brown of San Francisco had been called the night before to attack and told not to get on the plane that morning, and I even talked to Mayor Willie Brown's press secretary to confirm this story. And of course, the article appeared one time in the San Francisco Chronicle, and then it was pulled. And today, even Mayor Willie Brown doesn't remember what he told the newspapers at that time. So we know there's a cover-up, certainly, about what happened. But it was so hard for me eventually to come to the conclusion that they were really explosives and that they were controlled demolition. It wasn't really till I watched Building 7 come down about a half a dozen times, and I watched it over and over again, saw the center of the roof collapse first, then the base of the building goes, and you suddenly say, that's a controlled demolition. And of course it's a controlled demolition. There's things that we don't want to believe. And it was very hard for me to believe that there was anybody in this country that was that evil. And it shouldn't have been. I should have been smart enough to realize it on the first day, and I'm sure there's some people who did. But I didn't want to believe it. And just like we had a girl on a little earlier, Ashley, I think was her name, calling from Lexington, Kentucky. And she talks to people all the time who don't want to believe what she's telling them. But it is true, and all we can do is profess the truth. Anyway, anything else you'd like to cover, Mark?
No, I just wanted to say, isn't it a little bit naive, just like anybody else thinks that it wasn't an inside job and it was perpetrated by 19 Arab terrorists? Isn't it, don't you think it's just as naive to just go ahead and lay the blame on the government?
Well, basically, it is not the government. There's an invisible government there. There are separate people who have a specific agenda, and they work behind the scenes. They work within the shadows. I will tell you...
You don't think it was President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney that had anything to do with it, is that correct?
I did not say that. I said that I think that George Bush was frightened to death that morning. I mean, here he's sitting, he's reading a book about, a goat to a group of students. Somebody comes and tells him the country's under attack. What does he do? He's frightened to death. He sits there, continues reading about the goat for another 5 to 7 minutes. Obviously, he did not know what was going to happen that morning. He may have known something was going to come down. I think he did. So I think that George Bush was controlled by Dick Cheney. And I think Dick Cheney knew exactly what was going on that morning. In fact, we've interviewed Sergeant Lauro Chavez, who was at CENTCOM headquarters on the morning of the attack. At least he claims he was. And he said that there was a stand-down order, that it came from the highest levels of government, either from Rumsfeld or Cheney, that there was the interceptor jets were not to be allowed up that morning. I might comment that Lauro Chavez disappeared after being on my program. And to my knowledge, I don't know anybody who's ever seen him since then.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's any concrete evidence to support that kind of theory.
Well, have you ever read the Congressman Mineta's testimony before?
I have not. I understand it. It wasn't ever brought before the 9/11 Commission.
No, it really was. In fact, his testimony is there. We actually have the pages from the 9/11 Commission, where Mineta, of course, he's not an insider, but he was down in a bunker underneath the White House on that morning of the attack. He was with Dick Cheney, and he said, you know, he says this young man, you know, officer, runs into the room, this control room, everything's being controlled, Dick Cheney's in charge, and says that the plane is 50 miles out. And nobody says anything, and then he comes in again, he says the plane is 20 miles out. Then he comes in a third time, and he says the plane is 10 miles out, to the orders still stand. And according to Mineta, and the exact words are, and Dick Cheney whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
And I'm just, yeah, go ahead.
And, of course, somebody, congressman, said, what orders were that? And Mineta said, I don't know. But obviously orders had been given. Nothing was to be done to stop the plane.
Right, right. And you spoke of Building 7. I was just wondering if the general public really knows, or if they just watch the videos on YouTube or watch them online or hear whatever Alex Jones or other conspiracy theorists have to say. But Building 7 was a very, very old building, and it was hit by tons and hundreds of tons of debris from the two twin towers.
And that made the base of the building disappear spontaneously and symmetrically? I don't believe it at all.
I'm not sure demolitionists 100% completely agree that it necessarily was a controlled demolition, even if some witnesses say that they heard explosions, which could have been really from anything.
Well, I would simply point out that about 1,350 architects and engineers have called for an independent examination. That's Richard Gage's website, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. I suggest you go there. I would also tell you we have a 4-tape set. Why did the buildings come down? And certainly one of the people I investigated, his job was to clean up controlled demolitions. Whether it would go to Las Vegas or wherever there was a controlled demolition, his job was to clean them up. And he was there the day after the building came down. He said, I would say 99% sure that was a controlled demolition. You may not agree with him. I'll suggest that you watch the building come down a few times. Notice how the center of the roof collapses first. That's what you do in a controlled demolition, so the walls fall inward. Watch it come down a few times, Mark, and maybe you'll change your opinion or maybe you won't. But I believe it was a controlled demolition. And the 1,350 architects and engineers believe in it, and you have a right to your opinion. Okay. Hey, thanks so very much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's go quickly to Joan is calling from Coeur d'Alene. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Doctor. I wanted to ask you quickly, the Earth Charter, when you get that on the website, is that the website?
Yes, basically you just go to your search engine and type in Earth Charter.
Okay, search. I want somebody to look. And then also...
But it's point 10A, or provision 10A, calls for equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. Mm-hmm. How do you get equitable distribution of wealth between China and America?
Yeah.
Or you lower our living standards, you raise theirs, and that's just what we're doing. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Joan, go right ahead.
Yeah. I also wanted to... I never got that other man. I forget his name, Stephen somebody. He was going to say something about light bulbs, and I wondered if we won't be able to get our regular kind of light bulbs.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.
Get our tape of the month, four best tapes or CDs of the month, and then get our newsletter. You can subscribe to the newsletter. Whatever you're able to do, we'll appreciate it. And if you're not in a position to help, then, of course, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because, believe me, this is a spiritual battle. And there are powerful spiritual forces out there that are aligned against everybody who's out there on the front lines of this battle. And I certainly appreciate the fact that we do have people all across America, indeed all across the world, praying for our provision and protection. I've had other people, other friends, that doing what I'm doing today, and they've come under tremendous pressure. And for some reason why we've been pretty much left alone, I really like to think that it's because we do have people praying for us. Certainly, if you would like more information on what is really going on today financially, why you need to get my talk on the financial Armageddon and the syllabus that goes with that. We have a little book called The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. It was written by Professor Anthony Sutton. We carry, of course, the classic book by our good friend Ed Griffin called The Creature from Jekyll Island. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you want to understand what lies ahead as far as their genocidal programs, yes, ladies and gentlemen, they do have genocidal programs. You need to understand about genetically modified foods. We have a four-tape set on genetically modified foods. We have Jeffrey Smith's excellent book, A Genetic Roulette. And basically, they know what they're doing to destroy our health and fertility with the genetically modified foods, which is why the Rockefellers and Bill Gates and Monsanto have put up the Doomsday seed bank up off the coast of Norway, up above the Arctic Circle, where under guard they keep good seeds so they can, for wheat and corn and all the other things, so they'll have good seeds to plant when they start all over again. And they really do intend to kill off a large part of the population of the world by war and by pestilence, by disease, and by famine. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. And if you haven't read my Population Control Agenda monograph, Population Control Agenda, go up on the Internet. You can pull it down. Or if you get anything through Radio Liberty, we'll be glad to provide you with it. Copy of the Population Control Agenda. It's probably 10 years old, needs to be updated, and one of these days I'm going to get started doing that. But you must understand there really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. You only need to see the Georgia Guidestones, and basically you'll find pictures of that at my website at radioliberty.com. This is put up by the occultists, by the Rosicrucians, and by the followers of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, the theosophist. We're going to be doing a program with Van Smith on this next week. You can find this in Elberton, Georgia. It is an occult satanic site. And, of course, you can go, as I did, to the local library and read all the clippings there about the naked parties that they have and the satanic ceremonies and the UFOs, which have been seen hovering over the Georgia Guidestones. And I'm not trying to frighten you. This is the reality of what we're up against. We're up against powerful satanic forces. And this is an occult monument. And point number one there in the Ten Commandments there that come from the very pit of hell is maintain the population at 500 million in constant balance with humanity. Maintain the population at 500 million in its constant balance with humanity. And, of course, what they're talking about is the killing off of over 90% of the world's population. These people are deadly serious. And they, some of the most wealthy people in the world, are aligned with this occult movement. Certainly, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our little three-pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy that rules the world. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. You can watch our DVDs there, listen to our programs, read our newsletters, see all the other things that we have posted there on the secret symbols, and then please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you once again from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that has determined what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, actually, got to be the views of Patrick Wood from August Review. And Patrick's been involved in this battle for a long time. He worked very closely with a friend of mine, Professor Anthony Sutton, in the latter 1979, writing and studying about the Trilateral Commission, exposing this subversive organization. And certainly they wrote a couple of books on the Trilateralists over Washington, part one and part two. And certainly the website, Patrick's website, augustreview.org, you can go there. Fascinating information. You'll learn so much by reading what Patrick has to say. Well, tonight I think he's going to be talking about his predictions for the year 2011. Hi, Patrick. How are you doing?
Well, just fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me back on your program.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us. So what, basically, you want to talk about your predictions for 2011?
Well, you know, I don't know that this doesn't have anything directly to do with the Trilateral Commission, per se, but as you know, I also write the August Forecast, which is a forecasting service for the economy and for some political areas, and also for the stock market, gold and silver and currencies and so on. And so I'm constantly thinking about the next 6 months, the next 12 months, the next 24 months. And I guess New Year's is always a time when people pull out their list. And so I've got, you know, things that I'm thinking about these days. I don't know if it's a very good list, but they're things that I'm focusing on. And probably still right at the top of the list, I think, is going to be real estate for this next the next 12 months or so. I think we're going to see probably another 15 to 20% drop in real estate prices and a lot of chaos in the market as Fannie and Freddie continue to be the primary underwriters of new mortgages in the country. They will be increasingly bloated with newly generated mortgages. And the rest of the mortgage community, the banks and savings and loans and so on, I think are going to continue to be on very, very rocky ground. Not too many people noticed, Dr. Stan, that in the last several months that the FDIC, that is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, has kind of quietly increased the size of their watch list. And it's getting very close to 900 banks now that they're watching for signs of, you know, imminent failure. And I think this is as high as it's been probably, I don't know, I'd say for at least 40, 50 years.
Well, Chris, the thing is that if, certainly if you say that the housing prices are going to drop another 20%, a lot of these, of course, banks, of course, their assets are based upon the mortgages they hold. And, of course, if the value of the homes that they hold the mortgages on is falling, that is going to impact their bottom line, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think it's going to be a rough year for banks. I think it's going to be a very rough year for the real estate market, both commercial and residential real estate.
Well, of course, the two really things that are going on, one is the housing market. The other is the jobs. I mean, you can't get a recovery unless you're getting jobs. And when we get back here with Patrick Wood, we'll talk about the job market and his views on that. And we'll let him go through his predictions. Why don't we do that? And then I'll intercede at the end. Hold on. We'll be back in a moment. Patrick, what's some of your other thoughts?
Well, you mentioned employment. That's the third thing, actually, most important right now that I'm watching. I think that employment will continue to stay high. What's happening, I believe, there's quite a bit of evidence to support this.
You're talking about unemployment will stay high.
Unemployment.
Right.
Exactly. One of the reasons I believe that it stayed high is that companies that the large employers are finding it cheaper to recreate jobs overseas than they are finding it to create jobs here in the United States. This has kind of put the whole offshoring of jobs on steroids. That is the last 3 years of economic depression. And nobody's really talking about this openly. Congress certainly isn't, and there may be a few private groups are, but there's a groundswell of jobs permanently going overseas that will never ever return to our country. So there's two problems here. One is we're losing current jobs that should be given to Americans, and secondly, it's become pernicious. It's not something where there's any reason to reverse the tide and ever bring those jobs home again. So once employment gets kicked up into the 10, 11, 12%, 13% area, it's going to be virtually impossible to bring it back down again unless wages fall dramatically from current levels. And of course, that's problematic because the standard of living in America that we worked so hard for the last 100 years could be, you know, radically reversed, and, you know, where people might be averaging $18 to $20 an hour today, they may well have to be happy with $8 to $10 or maybe $6 to $8 per hour 2 years from now in order to bring any jobs back to America again. It's a very difficult problem that has, you know, fundamental structural issues that nobody is talking about, nobody is addressing, and of course the global community, the global elite, they're just licking their chops because they're getting rich over this, and Meanwhile, the United States is just, wallowing in our own mire, if you will, wondering what happened to us. I think this is what's happening to us with the employment market these days.
And I share your concern. I think that people have to really understand this organized effort to send our jobs overseas. Well, this is Dr. Stan, certainly Patrick Wood, is talking about the unemployment situation and pointing out that there is an organized effort to outsource our jobs and send them overseas. After all, they can get them done so much more cheaply over there. They don't have to pay Social Security. They don't have to pay Medicare. They don't have to pay a pension. They don't have to pay for health care overseas. So you can get the work done so much cheaper overseas. And increasingly, while we're finding out that more and more of our major corporations are shifting their jobs overseas. And, of course, as Patrick points out, those jobs are not coming home. And basically, when the unemployment rate gets up to 12, 13, 14%, why, people are going to be willing to work for much lower salaries. You're getting $20 an hour. Now you'll probably be willing to work for $8 to $10 or maybe $6 to $8 an hour. And maybe they're going to have to lower the living wage or certainly they're going to have to so inflate the value of our currency that it would be equivalent to that $6 an hour as they destroy 20, 30, 40% of the value of our currency. You'd get $8 to $10 an hour. It just wouldn't buy very much. But you go right ahead. I share your concern. I think there's an organized effort to shift our jobs overseas, but we can't let the American people know that. Anybody who ever talks about imposing tariffs so that we can protect American jobs, why, he's called a protectionist, a term that they say with the most utter disregard and contempt. Go right ahead.
Well, a protectionist is the next step away from being a homegrown terrorist. you can see the big guns of the global elite and organizations like the Department of Homeland Security turning their scorn on American citizens for all kinds of crazy reasons that have nothing to do with reality, but basically just kind of to keep us intimidated, I think. There's another big trend. We've talked many times about deflation versus inflation, of course, and you're aware that I have been a deflationist and have offered several arguments for this. I think that it's time to bring a new term back into the vocabulary again. You remember the venerable Harry Schultz, the economic writer of the 60s and 70s, and Harry Schultz is still around, actually, but he invented the word stagflation. And stagflation was something from the 70s that that indicated that the economy would be stagnant. In other words, underperforming, but there would be pockets of inflation that took off and drove prices up in certain areas, and that was a very good description of what was happening. Today, I think we probably need to look at the term and maybe modify it to be something like stag-in deflation. Pockets of deflation along with a stagnant, deteriorating economy. However, sprinkled here and there as hot capital comes into our country or into our economy, sprinkled with spikes and certain price spikes in certain commodities. I think we're seeing that today with commodities like cotton and sugar and cocoa and some other foodstuffs, and oil right now is riding the curve again, getting close to 100. We see these certain things going up, and then you balance that against, for instance, real estate prices continuing to just plummet. It doesn't make any sense. You can't look at it and say, well, it's inflation, but commodity prices are going up. You can't say it's purely deflation because real estate prices are going down. There seems to be some other explanation. And I think we might do well to look at stag-in deflation as kind of a new term that just recognizes that the world is spinning out of control. And that based on flows of capital from one country to another, looking for a home, it's orphaned capital, if you will, looking for a home, it may settle in Europe, it may settle in Ireland or Greece or Great Britain or India, it may settle in the United States or in China, and as this hot capital flows around the world, it's going to create dislocations the likes of which I don't think we've ever seen before. This will be horrible for the economy, by the way, because economies do not like unpredictability and volatility. So this kind of a phenomena will be very negative towards you know, getting anybody's economy, much less ours, back on some kind of standard track again.
Well, I think that our major banks have lots of money. They're intentionally not lending the money, at least not lending it here in the United States. But they have been lending it to China and to India and to Dubai. And I don't know how much they're lending to Dubai now. That's not a very safe place to be investing. But actually, we've seen an economic miracle in Brazil thanks to an influx of American money. And our banks are certainly investing everywhere in the world except here in America, because I really believe there's an organized effort to destroy the economy of this nation, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of it. As far as the housing prices are concerned, they're falling because they inflated so much. They never should have gone up as high as they did. It was a bubble, and that bubble is just just deflating now. But as far as you know, falling home prices, they're really getting back to where they ought to be, rather than the inflated level that they'd gone to. I mean, they doubled, tripled. Homes prices have tripled or quadrupled there during the bubble, and now they're getting back where they ought to be.
People that study bubbles historically, going back 200-300 years, find an interesting phenomenon that in most cases, bubbles tend to go back to their point of origin before they're complete. And that kind of makes sense. It's kind of intuitive that it would. If you blow a balloon up and then all of a sudden you let go of it and let the air go out, the balloon looks just about like it did before you started blowing it up, when all the air is gone. And so if home prices were to go back to where the bubble started in the year 2000, then probably we've got another 50 to 80% to drop before we're back to those price levels again. The problem with that is, of course, is that it will be absolutely devastating to the middle class of our country, because they were suckered into this bubble thanks to Alan Greenspan and Congress with their loose money policies. They were suckered into it to place their bets, if you will, on real estate. It's like a giant crap game. They put their bets down in the wrong place. They risk all of their capital, and now, as it comes back to bite them, the middle class is literally being wiped out right from under our noses. We've seen this middle class crisis coming probably for 30 years on a theoretical basis. We know that the socialist communist world hates the middle class, wants to do away with it, thinks it's evil, etc. And we've known this. We've seen it. Sometimes we joke about it. But today, Dr. Stan, it's actually happening. And the middle class is just being slaughtered. And there's no other way to describe it. They're just being slaughtered hundreds and thousands per day. It's just staggering.
Well, I really believe there's an organized effort to destroy the middle class. I don't think this is happening by accident. Basically, everything, of course, is being done to destroy the middle class. I mean, they're sending our jobs. They've moved our automotive industry, part of our automotive industry. General Motors is trying to buy out another 60,000 of their employees there. They're offering them each $60,000 just to give up their obligation, GM's obligation to employ them. Why do they want to do that? Because you're shifting their production to China, to Brazil, to Russia, and to India. I mean, General Motors is the largest single automotive producer in China today. They have a partnership with a Chinese company, but they're the largest producer of automobiles. When we give President Obama gave all that $60 billion to General Motors to create new jobs, General Motors did create jobs, and they did open factories, but they were in China. People don't understand that this is really what it's all about. General Barack Obama was in on the scam, so then we gave Chrysler to Fiat Motors, and they opened new plants. They opened them in Mexico. They opened them in Italy. Yes, they did open one plant up there in Detroit, but most of their production is done overseas. This is part of a program, and of course, the good-paying jobs are simply leaving America. And we've done away with our electronic industry, our textile industry, our steel industry, our smokestack industries, the aluminum industry, the tool industry. You try to find anything electronic. Try to find any clothing made in America. You'll find very little of it. Go to Walmart and you'll find out what they're actually creating over in China. And look at Costco. I mean, certainly their products are produced overseas. But they're producing good jobs over there, and they're getting they're producing good products over there, and they're far less than they could be produced here. And the only way to protect America would be to have tariffs. And, of course, products would actually cost more. They'd cost a lot more than they do now. But at least we would preserve America and preserve our industrial base and preserve our middle class. And if we don't install tariffs, then the middle class in America is going to be impoverished and we'll have a two-tier society, the very rich and then the very poor. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, I expect that probably some of your listeners have been in business before and perhaps they've made something and sold it to the public. That is a manufacturer, even if it's just in a small sense. 30 years ago, if you manufactured something, there were a number of rule of thumb. Well, there's a rule of thumb for any industry, what you needed to charge the public and versus what you, you know, what your cost of manufacturing something was. But if you manufactured something for a dollar, it wasn't unusual to say, well, you should charge $8 to $10 for it because by the time you got marketing and everything else, distribution, you'll make a fair profit. Well, today, those margins have, because of the overseas market, instead of being 10 to 1, are like perhaps 30 or 40 or 50 to 1, so that they can maintain high prices with extremely low cost of units manufactured. And they make their, you know, they could still make a veritable fortune on their retail prices. You see sales today in stores 60% off, 70% off, 80% off. Now, how do you think they can do that if they're losing like 50, you know, say 20% every time they make a sale?
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Patrick Wood here at Radio Liberty. Go right ahead, Patrick. And of course, the thing is that it's only costing them 10 or 20% at the most.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
South Africa, where we lived for a number of years, but go right ahead. Certainly, we did have a recession at that time.
Well, the bear market that that occurred between 73 and 74 was one of the most severe bear markets that there had been in since the Great Depression at that time. And it seems to me, as I'm studying the position of the market today, which I've been actually, you know, looking for a top for at least the last 4 months, it just keeps creeping higher. But it's looking more and more like early January may be all she wrote for stocks and for the stock market. There's a number of indicators that say that that we have reached multi-decade extremes on bullish sentiment, on the public being involved in the market. Basically everybody's pretty much all in right now, the mutual funds, the public, everybody's looking for higher prices. Bullish sentiment is up around 95, 96, 97%. And these types of scenarios are usually the places where major tops occur, not major bottoms, major tops. And as we inch into 2011, and perhaps somewhere around anywhere from the, you know, the 5th to the 10th to the 15th, this could be a very good topping place and a starting place for the next leg down of the bear market that started a few years ago in 2007. And, of course, at this point, that's looking forward. Nobody can predict with great certainty what's going to happen, but the way it looks to me right now, the way it's sizing up, Dr. Stan, I have deja vu feelings all over. The alarm bells are going off that 1973, 1974 is about to repeat. And if that happens, that means we have a rough, rough 2011 ahead of us. If that combined with a loss in real estate of some 20% as well, it will mean that all asset classes will be going down at the same time, which will result in trillions of dollars of wealth lost by this middle class in our country, by businessmen, by just the vast majority of people who make up the middle class in this country. They're going to be losing at an unprecedented rate. And, this is what happened in 2007, 2008, into early 2009. Everything was going down at the same time. It was brutal to the middle class, and I see this happening again in 2011, unfortunately. Probably going to take a lot of banks with it as stocks and real estate go down in unison. But that also brings up another crisis, that there's a double-barrel crisis. There's a municipal debt crisis just unfolding right now where municipalities, cities, and counties are on the verge of bankruptcy by the score across America. There's probably at least 300 cities and counties that are flat out of cash, and there's no clue what they can do. They can't just roll up debt like the federal government does, but there's a crisis coming where municipal bonds are going to crater again like they did during the Great Depression. And, of course, municipal bonds are mostly purchased by retirees, by people looking for absolute safety in their money, you know, by older people looking for yield.
Well, of course, you know, pension funds, insurance companies do that as well. But, of course, if they could badly hurt their bottom line as well, if this go down, I think you're absolutely right. I think that
yes.
During the Great Depression, about 30% of these municipal bonds defaulted. In other words, they just said, sorry, sayonara, you lost it all.
And it was goodbye money. In other words, most of that money was never recovered. It literally just people ended up actually papering their bathrooms and bedrooms and stuff with stock certificates that were worthless, or bond certificates that were worthless. I've seen some of those in my early days in my stock brokerage career. And pretty looking paper, but it's all just worthless as can be. This seems to be where we're headed today with the municipal bond market, and that's going to be horribly devastating to the middle class again.
But, of course, you know, there's even a lot of people talking about the states, you know. Are they going to default? Well, they're not supposed to be able to default, but what happens when they can't pay their pension funds? What happens when they can't pay back the interest on the bonds that they've issued, or they can't redeem the bonds? And basically here in California, there is no way that they're ever going to be able to come up with $750 billion to pay off their pensions down the line. This is over a 30-year period. But actuarially, California is broke. In fact, they've already dropped our bond rating to below junk level.
While the storm clouds gather far across the field, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Well, go right ahead.
Well, we touched on the municipal debt crisis that I see coming. there's been one figure in the media recently. I believe her name is Meredith Whitney, who's been talking about this, and I'm glad to see somebody coming out in the public, at least bringing up the discussion. I've been looking at this now for about a year, and advising my readers to flee the municipal bond market like crazy, completely shun it. There's nowhere to tell where these little landmines are going to go off around the country. Of course, you can look at any individual city and see what kind of relative health they're in. But there's going to be a number of cities. Once the trend is set, there will be a number of cities who just pull the plug and say, we're not going to pay our debt. We can't pay our debt now. We can't pay it later. Income has dried up because property values are dropping and our tax base is gone, and they're going to be forced to make cutbacks, and you know, to the tune of 70%, 80%, 90% in some cases. What that does socially, in terms of you know, spawning anarchy and riots and civil unrest, I don't know, but I can't imagine a lot of people are going to be happy about it. Some cities like Los Angeles, Detroit, you know, and so on, New York, cities like that, where you have a lot of people living on top of each other. It's not going to be pretty, I don't believe. But there's another barrel. There's another type of, barrel to the double barrel part of the debt crisis, and that is the sovereign debt crisis that that is currently pretty much underway in Europe right now. It's been pretty much limited to Europe so far. Ireland has had severe trouble. Iceland has had severe trouble. Greece has had severe trouble. Italy is on the ropes right now. Portugal's on the ropes. Other countries may well be added into the group of countries that are close to sovereign default on debt. There have been many cases over history, in history, where countries did default on debt, did go bankrupt.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Patrick Wood, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Patrick Wood, and we're basically talking about what's going on as far as the Europe is concerned. And Patrick's simply pointing out that certainly Portugal and Italy and Ireland and Greece and Spain and other countries, certainly Belgium has to be included in that, are really having sovereign debt problems, and some of them are certainly not going to be able to pay their debts. They have bonds out there, and what happens when they can't make the payments on their bonds? What happens when they can't borrow money? Why, then, eventually what they do is they simply say, we're going to default. Now, the whole credit system in the world is based upon trust. I mean, you borrow money, you pay it back. But what happens when you can't pay it back? Well, we saw that in the 1930s, and we should learn from that. 30% of the municipal bonds in the United States are simply defaulted, and that had a tremendous impact. And it started just a whole, simply a series of events that followed that. And this could certainly happen with nations as well. But you go ahead with the story, Patrick. Well, one of the things that really concerns me is that the globalists are going to use the tragic situation in the so-called pig nations to justify simply establishing a one government over in Europe. In other words, do away with national sovereignty and tell everybody, you got two choices. You either give up your sovereignty and give up your freedom and let the bureaucracy control you, or there's going to be chaos. Which do you want? And I fear an awful lot of people would say, well, we don't want chaos. We'll give up our freedom because we know that the government will look after us. Go right ahead. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's right. Europe is on the cusp of dissolution right now. At least the EU is, and their currency, the euro, is also, I believe, on the cusp of dissolution. It has lots of problems right now, and too many to go into on your program, but there's a lot of talk amongst experts that the euro is just in serious trouble, and with it, of course, the European Union would follow suit. There would be fracturing. There would be countries dropping out. How that would play out in the end, some staying in, some dropping out, it's just a big unknown. But it would be, on a national basis, it would be kind of a state of anarchy in Europe. And Europe has been known for that kind of anarchy for thousands of years, I might add. So this may just be a continuation of old habits. But it does offer the opportunity for someone to come in, like some strong-arm person or group, to come in and assert themselves over the whole mess and say, you will follow us, or we will implement military troops, whatever, to enforce the national peace, to enforce the whatever this national will is they come up with. And it could be very ugly for Europe. It could it could be a time when Europe is put under a jackboot again, the likes of which people might be wishing they had Hitler back. It's not a pretty future for Europe right now. Of course, nobody knows what's going to happen exactly, but it's not going to be business as usual in Europe. And the sovereign debt crisis is going to be the trigger, I believe, that will cause this mass dissent amongst investors and citizens and so on, because so many pension funds are invested in the sovereign debt of these countries. So many banks, trust companies and so on are invested in the sovereign debt, that if it goes belly up, the ripple effect is going to, it could literally destroy the global banking community. I'm not predicting that's going to happen. I'm just saying that the possibility is there. It's that big. And so it bears watching very closely. The sovereign debt crisis will be very closely related to the municipal debt crisis, I believe. And I think we're going to probably see them at the same time. Well, we'll see.
All right, say, what do you think is going to happen to a place like California here? Because, of course, we have this phenomenal debt for something like $25 billion. And we have a new governor coming in who says he's just going to slash everything here. Do you think that's really going to happen? And then, of course, he wants to create such a crisis here in California that people vote for higher taxes. But do you think they're really going to vote for higher taxes?
I don't think they're going to vote for higher taxes. And I wish people had some kind of a generational understanding of your current governor, Jerry Brown. I know you do because you were politically active when he was governor of California the first time. And
Governor Moonbeam was what he was known as, Governor Moonbeam.
I know, and the fact is that most of the problems that California suffers today were the result of policies that he implemented when he was governor the first time around. And California, young Californians at least, foolishly elected this man back to the same position to try and tell them how to get out of the crisis that he was largely, well, not totally, but he was somewhat responsible for years earlier. It's absolutely ludicrous. And Jerry Brown, I do not believe, will offer any constructive solutions to California whatsoever. I don't think it's in his nature. I don't think it's in his mental makeup, in his political makeup. I think you're going to see nothing but trouble and treachery from Jerry Brown before his term is done. But he will take California further down a road of destruction. And, you almost will see, I think probably what you're going to see is that the counties and the cities will more or less break away from the state and just say, we're going to do our own thing. Don't talk to it. Don't call us. We'll call you. And otherwise, stay out of our face. Keep your debt collectors out of our county. Keep your tax snoopers and sniffers and whatever out. We don't want you here. We will take care of ourselves, and thank you very much. And of course, that could make for a lot of conflict. Maybe even the National Guard might be called out to settle a conflict. But I could see that happening. I could see a lot of cities just saying, look, you screwed us up so bad, just stay away from us. You're a bad stink.
Well, I think it's going to be a very, very interesting year, let's put it that way.
It'll be difficult, really difficult, I'm afraid. And it's not just California. There's so many other states that are in similar condition. You've got, Arizona is just chaotic right now. Michigan is chaotic. New York is chaotic.
Well, don't forget New Jersey and Illinois. New Jersey. Illinois has 5 months behind in paying its bills.
I know. So, it's not just California, but California has always seemed to lead the way. I don't know why we always said that, but California was always the leader in the country. And so goes California, so goes the country. And, if you look at California like we're talking, they say, well, what does this mean for the rest of the country? Well, they're not far behind is what it means. And, by the time it's done, they'll probably pretty much all be in the shape California's in right now. So, all in all, it looks like we have a pretty gloomy situation for 2011. The thing that probably really concerns me the most, despite all of the economic stuff that we look at here that we've talked about so far, my biggest concern is that in America today, a police state is rising. And I'm very concerned about warrantless searches and seizures. I'm very concerned about what Department of Homeland Security is doing with their crazy security schemes at airports, their strong-handed retribution on people who criticize them. You probably have talked somewhere along the way about the pilot from up in Colfax area, which is the area I'm from, by the way, who released some videos onto YouTube pointing out the hypocrisy of some of the security at San Francisco International Airport. And the TSA found out who put it up, and they went to his house with a team of FBI agents. They confiscated his firearm that he was legally allowed to carry in the cockpit. They stripped him of his concealed weapons permit that he legally and rightfully had, and he's not fired from his job. But the TSA is going after people now that criticize it from the inside. This is anti-whistleblower, of course, and this guy actually did a pretty great job, in my estimation, of pointing out where they completely dropped the ball, and that the American people are suffering for it. But the police state condition that's rising in America right now is expanding to bus stations, it's expanding to train stations, it's expanding to all federal buildings across the country, it's expanding to state buildings now as well. And Dr. Stan, where's the end of it? You know, what's the point of it? Where's the end of it? And somebody could say, well, our safety is more important than anything else, and I'm for safety. I want, you know, I think our officials, if they're in law enforcement, they're paid to make sure that we have some order in our society. That's a good thing. That's even a biblical thing. But when you consider the evilness of certain people in our government today, this kind of a system is ripe for abuse.
Well, of course, I think, Pat, what we have to understand is this whole war on terror is a total fraud. I mean, basically, if there was really a terrorist threat, they would have closed our southern border on the 12th of September 2001. That border has been open for almost 10 years now, and basically any terrorist who wants to, it's been open for over 9 years, or in the 10th year, and any terrorist who wanted to come attack America could walk across the border with a knapsack full of explosives and go into a mall and go into a sporting event, but we haven't seen that. In fact, all the so-called terrorist attacks have been actually engineered and financed by the FBI, with the exception of the shoe bomber who was given a bomb that wouldn't work, and the underwear bomber who was given a bomb that wouldn't work, and then of course the Times Square bomber who went to Pakistan and was trained how to build a bomb that wouldn't work. It would smoke, but it wouldn't work. We have not had any major terrorist attacks in the United States, with the exception of the one military major who was in contact with people in Yemen. They were telling him to set off and attack the Americans, which he did. Other than that, there's been absolutely nothing. This war on terrorism is as phony as a $3 bill, because, of course, this whole terrorist movement is being funded in part by the Bank of London. Certainly Lord James, a member of the House of Parliament, got up on the floor of the House of Parliament on the 3rd or 4th of November of this year and said, you know, I am actually funding terrorism. I'm working for the Bank of London. I've sent billions of pounds to the Irish Republican Army. I've sent billions of pounds to the terrorists in North Africa. And of course, he's talking about Al-Qaeda, which is located there, Islamic Jihad. And so who is funding this? The Bank of London, probably the CIA. This whole thing, the best enemy money could buy, and they're using that as a vehicle to take away our freedom. I share your concern, but what we need to do is put these people on the defensive and expose the fact that this war on terrorism is a fraud. I mean, who is funding Al-Qaeda and the Taliban? Well, we know at least in part it's the Bank of London and, of course, the ISI, which is Pakistani intelligence funded by the CIA. Why have we been fighting for almost 9 years, over 9 years now, in Afghanistan, and we are losing the war? It's because we didn't go there to win the war. That's why. So what we need to do is let the American people know it's Vietnam all over again, a no-win war. Our boys fight bravely and courageously, and they're being betrayed by the people here in Washington, D.C., who send them.
Well, that's exactly right. The police state, unfortunately, is being the propaganda. Let's say that selling the police state is so beguiling to the American public that they're willingly accepting it. It reminds me, you know, reminds me of the book Brave New World. take a little soma. It fixes anything, any problem you've got, and you willingly, you know, you willingly accept anything and everything that the state does for you. I talk to people that aren't, you know, as perhaps as knowledgeable as we are about things, and they just, you know, oh, safety, you know, we need to be safe. We'll do anything to be safe. You know, forget the fact that we're getting felt up and, you know, sexually abused in certain cases at the airport. This is all necessary for our safety, so we don't get blown out of the sky. Of course, nobody's been blown out of the sky, but my point is they're believing the propaganda. People are believing the propaganda. Maybe this is programmed into the education system that many of these under 30s have come out of, to accept this and to not question it, to not understand the Constitution and what, you know, the guarantees that it has. I don't know. But I do see an American public that's asleep at the switch, and I don't know what it's going to take to wake them up, Dr. Stan. It's like you have to go back to fifth, you know, maybe to first grade, and re-educate them for 12 years to where they understand where the sun comes up from and where it goes down. I don't know.
What we need to do is get them to understand history, that how they were manipulated into the Spanish-American War by the attack on the battleship Maine, which never should have been in the harbor at Havana. And after the war was all over, they found out that the Spanish didn't sink the ship. There was an internal explosion. And then, of course, we got into the First World War after the sinking of the Lusitania, which was engineered by Winston Churchill. And we got into the First World War after the attack on Pearl Harbor, but they knew the attack was coming. We actually have Secretary of War Simpson's diary. On the 25th of November, he was told in the White House by the President, anybody would like to see a copy of this, would be glad to see inside the pages, that the war would be coming probably within a week. And the only question is how we were going to get into World War II. And get, of course, the Japanese to fire the first shot. They got us into the Vietnam War with the Gulf of Tonkin incident. Of course, the attack on the 4th of August didn't ever occur, and McNamara eventually admitted that fact. It was all a lie, and all those boys, 58,000 American boys, died over there for absolutely nothing. We weren't fighting for America. We were fighting we were financing the Russians all during the war, who were financing the North Vietnamese, who were financing the Viet Cong, who actually killed our boys. And of course, there was one congressman who talked about that. His name was Larry McDonald. And of course, his plane was forced to land on Sakhalin Island, and he was actually taken and put in prison. We've talked to people who were in the prison with Larry McDonald. Who was in prison, probably he's left there to die, by the people in our government, because he dared to tell the American people that we financed Russia all during the Vietnam War so they could finance the North Vietnamese, so they could finance the Viet Cong, so they could kill our boys. Just as today, the CIA and the Bank of London are financing the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, who are killing our boys in Afghanistan and Pakistan today. Well, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program with our good friend Patrick Wood, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Patrick, I got so involved in our conversation, I forgot for you to get your information out.
Well, Dr. Stan, people can read about my work with the Trilateral Commission.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
The move towards a police state. Was there anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Gosh, no, Dr. Stan. We covered a lot of ground. You know, we're going to have an interesting 2011, to say the least, and if there was ever a time to be vigilant, it's now.
Amen to that. I agree with you totally. But God bless you. Have a wonderful new year, and we'll be talking to you. I'll talk to you next year.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Bye-bye. God bless you. Fine. That was Patrick Wood, an old friend, and always enjoy having an opportunity to share with him. We've certainly known of one another for many years, but I certainly have got to know him in the last few years. And, of course, he had worked very closely with Tony Sutton, bringing out so much about the Trilateral Commission, which is really sort of the center of the cancer today, although it's certainly, remember, behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to read Professor Sutton's book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. We also carry his book on the Trilateral Commission. They're just small little books, but they will give you tremendous insight into the subversive activities that are taking place today. Of course, you'll want to be reading my newsletters, my latest newsletter, even if I do say it. So I think it's rather good. It'll probably be available in a couple of weeks. And it simply gives you the quotations from Richard Haass, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations and a member of the Trilateral Commission prior to the time he went to work in the State Department. And then Mr. Alton, I think it's Roger Alton, and he is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And basically, these people are simply telling us, oh, we're going to see lower living standards, and we're going to see austerity. And they repeat these terms over and over, austerity, lower living standards, austerity, lower living standards, austerity, oh, lower living standards. After you read it about half a dozen times, you get the idea, hey, maybe they're planning on bringing austerity and lowering living standards. They are. They're going to wipe out the middle class. They know what they're doing, and they hope out of the chaos that's coming will come the demand for a one-world government. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, behind this whole movement are powerful spirits or forces. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, why you need to get the other material we have on the secret societies that are out there. And they're not imaginary, they're real. You can go to Washington, D.C., and you can see their symbols, their signs, every place there. Read Dan Brown's book, The Lost Symbol. Now, Dan Brown's coming in from the other side. He thinks it's really great. He tells you how the Masons created America, and they were here. And they were here at the very inception of this country. We've got some wonderful DVDs. It's called The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. That's the first one. The second one is Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architects of Our Nation's Capital. The third is The Eye of the Phoenix. I have a small part in each one of the DVDs, but the information is there that you need to understand. That at the very time, or shortly within 20 years after the Pilgrims arrived in the United States, the occultists, the members of the secret societies, came from England. Their goal was to take over control of America and to use our military power to bring about the one world government. Why do you think we have troops stationed in 130 nations today? Why do you think we have 750 foreign military bases? Why do you think that the CIA operates throughout the world and kills leaders and gets other leaders elected to power? And if you doubt that, you need to get the book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and my four tape set of interviews with the author of that, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You need to get the four tape set. You need to get the book. They're available from Radio Liberty, so many other things. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. You can listen to our internet programs there 9 hours a day. You can hear us on shortwave, satellite. You can even dial in on the telephone if you have unlimited minutes and listen 24 hours a day. You won't get much accomplished, but you sure learn a lot. So again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us today. And do stay tuned. If you want to know what really goes on within the DEA, oh, we got an expert for you. Doug Valentine, he's the author of the Phoenix Program. Many, many people are familiar with the Phoenix Program book. Well, stay tuned in this next hour, and we're going to give you the inside of what it's all about. Thank you for joining us today, and let's go back to the calls. So let's see, we are now at James in South Carolina. James in South Carolina, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hello.
Hello, James. Welcome.
I had a comment about the election certification. Is it appropriate?
Well, give it real quickly. We're talking about the missile, but go ahead.
Well, if you'll call the Secretary of State's office for Missouri, I think you'll find out that the Secretary of State himself approves or disapproves. I don't know what criteria they use, but it's probably up to that person's individual distinction.
Wow.
I have called the Secretary of State's office in South Carolina, and all they said was they accepted what was sent them by each individual party.
Oh, man, how comforting.
I would suggest, you know, if you want to follow it up, it wouldn't take but three or four phone calls on some of your staff's part, and you could probably find out what certification is required, and you might have to go to the National Democratic, but they would tell
the
you what certification.
Being, the purpose being?
Well, you just find out what certification was was required.
Okay, well, that's another whole issue. I'm afraid we can't deal with that right now because I want to get to the missile issue. But thank you very much for the phone call, James. I wish we had time to deal with it and find out more about it. Let me go to George in Toronto. That's got to be George Freund, I hope, in Toronto. George, welcome to the Power Hour today.
Oh, good morning, Joyce.
Good morning.
I have a day off and share it with friends.
Oh, well, talk to us about this missile. What do you think?
Well, I'm working on something a little more sinister. And like portable missile launchers have been around since like the 1950s. They were used in the Korean War. And we brought this up when, you know, that missing freighter was pirated up in Scandinavia and magically appeared in Sierra Leone and was chased down by the Russian Navy. And your Secretary of State just happened to be leaving that certain island nation at the same time that they found the ship on the other side, and the Russians found surface-to-air missiles on it and all that sort of thing, which was conveniently swept under the rug. So those are a common weapons platform, portable, easy to get around.
Okay, so you're not impressed with my new... You're not impressed with my new missile.
I'm impressed because, you know, it doesn't take much to put a nuclear warhead and put it off your coast and launch it. We had an incident like that in Canada off Newfoundland where three of them went across a small fishing village, luckily photographed by a lady with a handy video camera on her phone. And, you know, no answers, no explanations, but this was a big missile. This wasn't a surface-to-air missile or anything. This was like an ICBM. And not too many countries are lined up in the usual list of suspects for one like that. Nobody can get one really close to your shores. You know, the only other country that has, you know, things like that that might be hostile is Russia, and they don't really have to flex their muscles. Britain and France only have a few subs like that. They're not going to do it. So what?